The companions were given their own sleeping and living space, with bedding and a change of clothes taken from the supplies that still existed. The space was an old office that had just had the furniture removed, and was noticeably free from much in the way of old tech.
"You can shower if you're willing to take a chance. Ain't usually a problem. Just be ready to move fast if you feel those tremors."
Corral and the accompanying party finally left them alone.
"I don't know about you, lover, but to me, this doesn't all add up yet."
"Maybe we'll discover more when we eat. Maybe get to meet the rest properly."
"Yeah, I don't think this is that big a community. Should be fairly easy to keep tabs on all of them. Get the feel of what's going on."
"Yeah, should be, Millie. Reckon they've got enough here to start a small war, and I think war's what they're after."
"Yeah, but why?"
"Well, I guess we can't hurry it up. So if it's okay with everyone else, I'll take my chances with the showers. May as well face it clean and fresh."
"Sound good, Dean. Good cold water makes sharper."
"Cold water? You crazy, Jack? I want to scald all this filth off my skin. I smell worse than a pig, but I guess you feel right at home with that smell." "Ow! That hurt, Jack!"
"Meant to."
"Yeah, I could go for that. We'll take it in shifts. Stand lookout for any muty trouble."
They started to go, but Ryan noticed that Doc was still standing against the wall, looking pensive. As the others left, Ryan broke away and went over to Doc.
"What is it, old man?"
Lost in reverie, Doc looked up at Ryan. For a moment, it seemed as though his eyes were a million miles and thousands of years away. It was enough to make Ryan, for all that he had seen, start back. Then the mists cleared, and Doc was once again back with the one-eyed warrior.
"Oh, I am most apologetic, my dear boy. But for a moment I felt as though I were standing outside of myself, outside of everything."
"You okay, Doc?" "Oh,
by the three Kennedys, what a ridiculous question. You of all people should know that the last thing I really am is okay, as you say. But for a moment, I was reminded of something that I seem to remember from what seems many years ago. I suppose it is many years, but that is by the by. It is our host. There is something about the gentleman that haunts me. I feel he is a lost soul."
"I think it's me you've lost there, Doc."
Ryan felt that Doc was trying to tell him something important, but he couldn't quite grasp it.
"He is driven by an inner demon that has taken over everything that he is or was. It is a demon that is part of him, and yet is apart. It has control of him to such an extent that it will care not for anyone or anything around, nor shall it ever be exorcised."
"What?"
"Ryan, listen. We should be wary of our new comrade. Very wary. He means us no harm, I'm sure, but we are the catalyst for him to put his own plans for vengeance into operation. And he will be merciless."
Ryan chewed his lip, trying to unravel Doc's language, the likes of which was no longer heard in the Deathlands.
"I understand. I figured along the same lines, I guess. But it's a matter of playing the odds, Doc, and I figure that we should go with it. If we pay heed and keep our backs covered..."
"Then that is all we can do."
Within a few hours, the companions, refreshed by their showers, were visited by Lonnie and Travis, who informed them that they would be eating shortly in the large room where the ovens were now installed. Travis also informed Mildred that Cy was sleeping and that his condition was stable.
"But I'd be grateful if you could take a look at him later."
"Oh, of course I will, Travis."
Mildred waited until Lonnie and Travis had left.
"Considering we injured him, they're being too damn nice about it."
"Yeah, most places they'd have chilled us straight away, but..."
"We'll find out soon enough."
They made their way to the eating room. The rest of the redoubt was empty except for one man, who sat alone in one of the living quarters. Doc looked in and observed that it was a room that housed the monitors for all the set cameras in the redoubt. To his surprise, none of the monitors were dark.
"Good heavens, that is most unusual."
The man on duty turned to him and shrugged.
"Hell, if any of these go down, we probably couldn't fix them. Have to start posting guards. Still, our luck's holding so far. Guess Papa Joe's right. Maybe it's our fate to be here and get even."
Why, I would surmise so, friend.
Doc slipped out of the room.
Now that is most interesting. Truly, retribution is on everyone's mind.
As they reached the eating room, they could see that the whole community was gathered together. There were about 30 in all, and only a third of them were female. They were eating in relative silence, with only a very low hum of conversation taking place. Looking around, Dean could see that there were no children, no one, in fact, who seemed to be under the age of 16. The youngest-looking man in the room was a whip-thin boy who had the beginning of a beard and was hunched over his food, as though wanting to appear invisible. Yet his intensity was such that he appeared to radiate a nervous energy that drew eyes to him. Bizarrely, it was almost as though he could feel Dean looking at him. He turned to face the younger Carter, his eyes burning bright through his spectacles, a keen intelligence showing through. His eyes locked on Dean's for an instant, then he gave the faintest grin and the briefest nod before turning back to his food. Unusual for a community setup, there seemed to be no table and privileges reserved for the Baron, although it had been noticeable that Carell hadn't referred to himself as such, and the man who was leader was seated to one side of the room, with a group of people, among whom were Travis and the Native American woman who they'd met before. Carell stood when he noticed the companions enter.
Sit with us, friends.
I guess we ought to.
I keep telling you, lover, there's no reason to piss the man off yet.
I know.
They seated themselves at his table, some of the Redoubt community moving to make room, and were served food by those who acted as cooks. Even these seemed to be on a par with everyone else, as there was no sign of a pecking order, and the cooks were as lean and fit as the people they had faced earlier. In fact, they all seemed trained and fit, ready for combat at any time. There was not a straggler among them. While everyone ate, they made small talk, and it wasn't until the meal was nearly over that Ryan judged it time to broach the subject that sooner or later had to be talked about. The one-eyed man downed some of the brew that had been supplied with the meal.
I guess it's about time we all leveled. You know we came here using old tech. It was something we stumbled on, and we can't control it, although we know how to trigger it. It's some kind of system for transporting people and objects across vast distances, by breaking it all up into atoms and shooting it across from one comp to another.
That'd be crazy talk if I hadn't known there was no other way to get into this place. So you can work it, but not control it?
Guess we're like you in that sense. You know something about the old tech, enough to use some and keep some going, but not enough to really make it work for you.
That's what we can find out. It'll be sweet, and we can settle a few old scores. But to get at that knowledge, I need to know you'll join us in a firefight.
Never shirked one yet. Just tell us what it's about.
Carell sat back in his seat and looked up at the ceiling.
We've been here about 10 years now, just getting ourselves ready for when fate decrees we can rise again. See, I used to be a sec chief for Charityville, which is just about the stupidest name you can think of for a ville run by such a cold-hearted son of a gaudy like Baron Al Red Jorgensen. Got run out of town because I was heading sec on a convoy headed for a trade rendezvous. We got raided by a party from Summerfield. They're the fuckers who know something about the old ways, because they had blasters and shit like you ain't never seen before. We didn't stand a chance. All the things we were trading, all the jack we carried, it all went. Red wanted to chill me and the rest of the party who survived, so we had to run. Damn it, there's shit all we could do. Anyway, we found this place, and over the years, there were others who Red was a shit to. See, we lost a trade in Jack, because Red didn't let me take enough blasters or men. Always frightened he was going to be overthrown if he let that happen. Stupid bastard deserves what he'll get. We all come from Charity, but we won't show none to old Red.
So why do you want to do this right now?
Well, fate works in strange ways. It's our desert land out there, and that sun means jack shit grows that well. Summerfield may have old tech, but they ain't got nothing to protect their water, and they lost a whole heap of women because of rad sickness. Well, Red, well, that stupid fucker has screwed up his whole farming scheme, and there ain't jack shit to eat. He needs jack for food and seed crop to start over.
JB nodded to himself. From the description of the land and what he'd seen earlier outside, He was now sure that they'd landed somewhere in New Mex. That knowledge might prove useful.
So, Charity and Summerfield have a little deal going down. Red's selling them some women for breeding stock, and in return he gets Jack to buy a food and seed crop to start over. Thing is, we know the route they're going to have to take, and we're going to take them out. Get the Jack and the women, then in the confusion when they think they're double-crossing each other, we take out Summerfield, get their secrets, then wipe that bastard Red off the face of the earth.
Crazy motherfuckers.
We trained hard, denied ourselves families, denied ourselves rest, and now fate has delivered vengeance to us.
Hellbenders! Hellbent on vengeance!
Ryan touched Corell on the arm, and the leader looked down at him, his eyes wild and gleaming, for a moment not seeing the one-eyed man.
So, when the hell does this begin?
7 days, friend. As long as the legends say it took to create this whole earth. If that can happen, well, we can sure as fuck get it together to whip some ass.